Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, where we go across country and travel the world with members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Let's go. Welcome, everybody. We love our second Tuesday shows with the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. Today, we are going back to Whidbey and Camano Islands. They are in Washington State in the middle of the Puget Sound, really easy to get to from Seattle. And Nancy and I went there a couple years ago and didn't want to leave, but we had to. We had to keep going on the road as we do. But it is absolutely beautiful. It is island style living. So it's very much on a sustainable path of taking care of their land. So I know so many of our listeners and magazine audience know you're like us, caring about the environment and want to be immersed in it, but also really being stewards of the land. And when you go to these communities, they're small, they're charming, there's art, there's all kinds of local food and drinks and wine. And so it's just really unique, and they really do capture small town America as well. So today we're excited because we have Inga Morosini joining us. Inga, am I pronouncing your name right? Even I should have asked you before we started recording.
It's close enough. My first name is Inga. The last name is Morosini, and they don't go together. So,
hey, no, but that's okay. Opposites attract. So the most important thing is you're here. So glad to have you. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Yeah. It's a wonderful, beautiful time of the year here as well. Meerkirk Gardens, which is right down the road from me, has one of the largest plantings of rhododendrons in the state, and they are in peak bloom right now. So this is the time to be here.
Wow. Yeah, because now the tulips just pass through, and now it's that, or am I?
The tulips are more in Skagit County, and okay. The tulip fields are in bloom as well. Tulips are blooming here, but we are not sort of famous for them. There is a lot of agriculture here as well as viticulture, but we're not so famous for flowers as the Skagit Valley is.
Okay. So, yeah. Well, I think you're famous for just so much because you've got the beautiful island lifestyle, but it's, you know, it's different than the tropical island, right? But it's island lifestyle. It is laid back, but charm, and there's art, and then when you also look, you've got parks. The parks you have are just incredible to go hiking and picnicking and just go for a walk. Your coastal environment, to me, that ruggedness and just even all the driftwood, and that's something so unique. You know, you don't find that everywhere. When we talk about the beach and the coast, everybody has a different idea of beach and coast, but your area just has this wildness to it.
It does. And, you know, having lived on the East Coast where you have miles of sand and calm waters, it's so much different here because you have the ruggedness of the landscape here, and the beaches are, you know, certainly not sandy beaches, but they're astonishingly beautiful. And everywhere you go, there is a water view and there's access to the water, which makes it an exciting place to live. But also there's a lot of agriculture that still goes on here, so a lot of things are grown here, and so you have that contrast between people still working the land and the environment of the ocean as well.
You talk about that with the farms, but the farms are not like this big ag, right? So from what I remember, they're just like it's diversity. So it's kind of like you guys are self-sufficient in a way with how you live. And like you have coffee roasters, you have, you know, people growing grapes and making wine, and just seems like it's like a network of everyone working together, like a true community.
Well, and it is reminiscent of, what America used to be, I think, all over, in as much as, you have small businesses. Most of the businesses here are three, four, or five people involved in a business, and they're very specific. So it's, like non-GMO seed production, medicinal plantings, as I said, viticulture, all kinds of things are being done here, but there are young people being involved, in areas that, in some parts of America are just not being being done anymore. So and we have tons of artisans, very, very talented people doing everything from pottery to fine art paintings to every kind of art that you could possibly think of is done here. A lot of glass art is done here as well.
Well, living there's got to be really special. I mean, the views alone, right? Isn't that part of it? It's just that it's just you feel it just is like fresh out there. That's what I want to say to people. Like when we were there, it was in March. I think we were in like early spring, February to March, and it was just this fresh, exciting feeling. Like the when you guys have real green grass, it's lush. It's vibrant. You have different kinds of weather for sure, but it's
Yeah,
so beautiful.
there certainly are a great many microcosms within the island. The island is quite large, so it's 64 miles long. So you do within that you have a number of microcosms and climate changes. So you go from one end to the other, and it can be pouring rain on one end, and the other end is very, very sunny. It's always interesting, and the temperature changes from one end to the other as well.
So let's talk a little bit about spring, summer, and what folks visiting to the region are looking to go. Like, what would you say is some of the ideal activities? I would say get out kayaking, go hiking. Would that be some of the things people can do?
Absolutely, but there are a lot of small festivities going on. This coming weekend, there's the Welcome to Wales Parade in Langley, which is a small town. Langley consists of 900 people or thereabouts, and it's a small town parade, and there's more people generally in the parade than watching it. And everyone, there's a giant whale that people are underneath, like the dragons from Chinatown, and they take that down to the ocean, and then women swim out with leis to welcome the whales to our area, the gray whales coming back, and those kinds of activities are what makes this place to me. And later in the month, there's up in Oak Harbor, there's Holland Happenings, which is another parade. So we have lots of small little hometown parades that are great. Everyone's welcome to join in or watch whatever they'd like to do. And then in May, we have the Pen Cove Water Festival, which is a celebration of the indigenous tribes people that occupied this land at one point. Lots of
And
things like that.
but you also I know that you we've talked about this on a show before, focusing on Whidbey and Kamano Islands, that you have a wonderful guide for all the different trails. You've got 24 different trails in a guidebook, right? Because this is the thing, it's like it's really nice to get off your screen for a while and actually have a book that you can take out in nature. But you also have it as like an ebook, right? It's online, but it's also something you can get, like a pocket guide. But you said there's a new guide that you've come out with.
Yeah, in addition to the trails guide, it is so popular. It is 24 of the trails, and there's certainly a great many more than that on the islands. But what we did was take some of the trails that are less popular and put them into the guidebook because we're trying to spread people out and give them exposure to possibly places they haven't been before. And that little guidebook is about 5 by 6 inches. It's spiral bound and it's free. And you can pick it up in any of the Chambers of Commerce visitor centers. But we've just released the 24 culture and heritage guide. And that is the same size. You can pick it up in any of the places that are featured within it. And it gives you insight to some of the places that on the island that you wouldn't normally see if unless you knew about them. Everything from down in Clinton, we have a corner store called Bailey's Corner. And it's reminiscent of someplace you'd see from the 50s or 40s. It's a little general store. They do trivia night and they have
Cool.
local bands singing there. And it's just a general the type of general store you would see in Rockwell paintings. And we
Wow.
have, that type of experience is what we're looking for people to take part in. We want them to be our neighbors when they come here rather than just a visitor.
Yeah. And, when we talk about you've got the islands, but you've got different communities within there, right? So can you give us kind of an overview of some of the main, I mean, some of them are small, right? I remember it, like, was it Coopville that we went to? And isn't that where Practical Magic was filmed? Like
Coopville is,
that.
and Coopville is about mid-island. It is has sort of a Victorian flair. It's right on the water, lovely restaurants, great little shopping district on their front street, and it's their pier goes out into the sound. So that's a always iconic place to go. And then further north, you have Oak Harbor, which
Oh,
is
yeah.
before Deception Pass. Oak Harbor has a lovely little downtown area, lots of mural paintings and lots of shopping in their old town. It does have more of a, it's more populated because the naval base is there. But it still has a lot of very picturesque areas to explore. And further north, you'll find Deception Pass Bridge, and Deception Pass Park, which is one of the most visited places in Washington. And then going south of Coopville's Mid-Island and going south, you have Green Bank and Green Bank Farm, which is a nice area to hike and, take a respite and have, a sandwich. And there's a cheese shop there and, a few little things. And continuing further south, we have Langley, where I am right now. And that's one of the first, I believe it is the first city on the island. As I said, it's about 900 people, a little more, but it is a city. And it's very quaint. It also sits right on the ocean, and we have several hotels within the city. We have several cultural centers, inclusive of the Whidbey Island Center for the Arts, and they put on wonderful productions. So that's a great thing to do. That's very local, and they, they use local actors. They use
Cool.
local directors. There's a play called Justice that's coming now, and it is produced by a friend of mine called Rose Woods, very talented director. And so you get to rub elbows with the very talented people who are here.
It's like community theater. If you can go. It's so cool going to local theaters and it's just, there it's entertaining. It is so good. And you always think, oh, it's community or something. It's not going to be as good. It is. It's great. It's fantastic.
They're world class. They're pretty world class here,
Yeah, exactly.
and they do a lot of environmental work. Whether it's lectures or whether it's film premieres on the environment and what's happening. That's a big topic here,
Good.
and we involve a lot of people that there's no end to activities. If you want to be involved on a local level, there's no end to nonprofit activities that you can get involved in. The Organic Farm School is a great place to visit when you're here to understand how people can be taught to farm differently. And we have We have things, fun things like Sip and Science, which is, discussions about the environment and talking about how to make it a better place and things like that. So, as I
That's
said, if you
awesome.
become a neighbor, you just, pick up the local calendar. You can find all kinds of things to do.
That's, to me, I love that when you can go into community as travelers and get immersed in what's happening locally. Because I feel as when we travel, wherever you go, that's your home for while you're there. And so we should protect it that way. As travelers, it's our home, even though we're a guest. And we need to respect that. And I think when you're an island, community, that's even, it's just so important, and it's important for all communities, but you're surrounded by water. You've got, the big city of Seattle next to you. You've got, a port in ships coming through, outside the area going towards Seattle and everything. But it's important for you, right? Especially as we look at climate change, that, it's just, I think there's more impact for islands with
There
climate
certainly
change.
is, things like the water table and overuse of the land, protecting the waterways. We have gray whales here. We have we have resident orcas who only stay in these waters, and that's a very small band of orcas, and they only their diet consists of only one type of salmon. So if that is decimated, or if the streams are blocked up and those salmon can't reproduce, then that pod of orcas will die out.
Oh man. I know a lot of people have gone to your area, and they're definitely, the whales are a huge part of it, and but there's just, they're protective, They're like, I don't want to tell you where we were, where we saw them. I don't want to tell anybody. You know what I mean?
Well, we get sightings from the shore, so you don't have to go out and and bother them. We get all kinds of sightings. Interestingly enough, the gray whales eat a very small crustacean. They call it a shrimp, but it's a really small crustacean that the gray whales eat, and they go on their sides right next to the shore and use their flippers to filter the sand into their mouths. And you can stand on the shore and see them. And you can definitely hear them at night, that interesting whoosh sound when they take air in the night. That's somehow awe-inspiring, even just to hear it.
Oh man, I've heard dolphins like come up close, and just that sound of them, it's magic. It is. It's really magic, Those are those kind of encounters, but you've got to also, with whales and things like that, are there like things that, to be careful of, like don't go too close, that kind of thing, with, like, I know.
Washington State has some very strict rules about how close you can be to them, and they're not dangerous, I wouldn't think. Certainly they don't attack people, but particularly this time of the year, you have young calves, and it's a wild animal. You don't want to disturb it in its habitat, and they're better looked at from afar than they are trying to paddle a boat up to them. Or, and we actually don't have too many whale watching excursions out of this part of the island. There are some out of Anacortes and other places, but we don't have too many out of here, because by the time they reach this part of the sound, it's a fairly narrow area, and it would be difficult to not be invasive to them. But it is, if you want to stand on the shore and see them, there's a whale bell here. So, and there's one in Cookeville. So if you see one, you get to ring the bell and let
Oh,
everyone
cool.
know. And then everyone comes running to the shore to watch.
That's so cool. I didn't know that. Oh, so there's also the Maritime Washington National Heritage Area that I am so intrigued on. I'd like to do some more on that, because heritage areas, as we travel the country, we document parks and public lands, and heritage areas are part of that. And it's really neat because the community is part of, preserving the history, the culture, the nature. It all goes hand in hand. And it's also part of the National Park Service. But actually getting this heritage area is pretty, it's a big deal because you have to get everybody to work together for this. And so I find that to be so cool that you're part of that. And I think the people that travel according to heritage areas and start to understand it really get that connection that, preserving nature also means preserving culture and history and vice versa, and it's also about creating sense of place when people come. If you guys didn't have, some of the history in the downtowns the way you do, and I don't know, you'd lose all your charm and integrity of place. You guys are awesome in that you can go there and it's like, oh, this is each place has its identity. And I think that's what's part of having a heritage area is that you keep your history alive.
Yeah, it's very much so here. And there each place here has its own personality. Langley's known for its sort of quirky artistic flair. As I said, Cookeville is known for their more Victorian style architecture. There's sort of a buzz around Oak Harbor where it's a little more vibrant and a little younger and a little hipper because of the younger people that are there. But every place has its and every place you go along the way has its personality. We have breweries that individually have personalities and they have local fun things to do for people. We have a drive-in movie. I don't think anybody hereabouts has drive-in movies anymore, but we
Gosh.
have a drive-in movie theater.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. That's rare. I mean, I
It is
think
rare.
there's less than 20 across the country, I think, that
Yeah, I
are
don't know
left.
how many there are, but we have very few. And we have it, as I said, it is what America, when you imagine, I'm not from America, I'm from Europe. And when I imagined what America was like, this is the picture I have.
Ah, yeah, I'm not from, I'm I was raised in Africa, so like to me, when we were coming over, like I wanted to go to San Francisco just because I thought Janis Joplin would be there, even though she's passed on. I just wanted, like, we have these idyllic things in our minds, and it's exactly, you're so right. And I wonder also because there's so many movies that have been filmed in your area that we kind of seen it, and it's idyllic. That's that small town mom and pop shop, and go to the coffee shop and people say hello. It's like a Hallmark movie, really, to
It
say about your
is.
area. It
It is.
is.
Well, I often say I could write a series here, to rival Peyton Place
Oh, yeah.
because everyone knows everyone and everyone knows everybody's everyone's business. But that's for another interview.
That I'm all into that. Hey, listen, it's small towns, and if you don't do anything, they will make it up for you. You will have a place in the gossip, timeline. But that's so cool. Coming from a different area and then living in a new place, it's exciting to be in these kind of communities where there really is a sense of place. Like what I find that is such an important thing when you travel that you, oh wow, you can, the coffee man's going to come out and tell you, oh yes, I just roasted that this morning. And now you have this, So you actually have an experience, and that
Well,
is
we're looking
something
to
important.
ex accentuate that. That is a big part of our movement towards regenerative tourism. Not only are we looking for that for ourselves, we're looking for that for people to come here as well, to have an experience, to have something to take home, to have that new piece of your heart that's developed while you're here. And we're working with small businesses to extend themselves. We have things like pasta making classes and sushi making classes, and you
Cool.
can go and help pick the grapes when they're ripe to make wine. And all of those things are what you remember when you're thinking about your vacation. It's not necessarily the view or the it's the people you've encountered, the relationships you've made, and the special moments you had when you go someplace.
And to be part of something, you know. I
Exactly.
wanted to ask you about lodging because I know, you know, with you being on the island side of things and then also looking at what we've talked about before is transformational travel, which is like what you're talking about, and also regenerative. I can say it. I'm still tongue-tied on that word. But it's about putting things back in, right? It's like energy doesn't die. It's what we do to have this all circulate. I wonder about the lodging side because some places that are smaller communities are really struggling across the country because of vacation rental world, which some of it is great, right? But it's getting to a point where they don't even have affordable housing for those who are going to clean the vacation rentals or work in the parks or do that kind of thing. So even their hospitality industry is in a really weird spot right now because they've kind of priced themselves out of housing for those who work in the industry. So is that
Well, I
something
think
you think of?
it's a complex problem in as much as housing here is quite expensive. And as with a lot of places that are tourism dependent, the salaries aren't commensurate with the cost of housing. So you have young people who are struggling to find a place to live. And I think in the long term, it's not vacation rentals that are necessarily driving that. It's just the cost of housing. The average house in Langley is $700,000, $800,000. That's a pretty steep place to start for a young couple. So we are doing things like looking at models like land trust and workforce housing, not low income, but local workforce housing, and saying, okay, well, if the average salary is, say $70,000, then can we do 50 to 100% of AMI, and be able to house people who are just starting out, because those people need a place to live, and we need them for workers. But I don't see it necessarily as short-term rentals that are causing the bulk of the friction. It's the cost of housing. And the disparity between wage and the cost of housing, I think the major problem.
Because each community is different. You know, I was just thinking as I was saying it too of a specific one, and there, I mean, people would have to drive 2 to 3 hours to go to work, you know,
Yeah, and when you live
which
on
is
an
nuts.
island, that's pretty impossible.
That's not. And speaking of that, let's talk about getting to Whidbey and Kamano Islands. Well, but this is, I think we as you know, we always talk about this and. You know, as much as I want to talk about, oh, you could take this trail, you could do that. It's so important that when we travel to these special spaces that we really, you know, treat them as special, you know? And I think it's important to talk about it. It really is. As travelers, we're part of this community and when we're there. So let's, you know, take care of it. So let's talk about getting there because that's part of the fun, right? Getting to you. Like if someone, you know, we're always going to talk about going from Seattle. Is that the main place where people come in from?
Well, actually, we have a fairly large area. People come from Canada, and they come from the top of the island. And there is a land bridge. There is a bridge that bridges Fidalgo Island and Whidbey Island, so you can come from the north and drive onto the island. And Camano as well. You can go down the I-5 corridor and come on to Camano. But on the south of the island and mid-island, we have ferries. And it's only a 15-minute ferry ride, although in the summer you may have to wait for a ferry or two before you can get onto a ferry to come here. And that is part of the adventure. Mid-island, the ferry is about 30 minutes from the Olympic Peninsula to come here. And the south of the island between Mukilteo and Clinton, it's just 15 minutes. But it is a ferry ride, and that, it has its upsides and downsides. An upside is that it doesn't get overdeveloped here very quickly because it does require a ferry to come. The downside is, in the heat in the height of the season in the summertime, if you're planning on coming on Friday night, you may have to wait a couple of hours to get here.
Okay, so that's a good tip for people to know, right? Is to understand the ferry system. Is there a way for people to watch the ferry and see, the timing, or you can't really reserve. I mean, the ferries I've been on, it's like, get in line,
Well, the ferry mid-island you can reserve between the Olympic Peninsula and Cookeville. There is a reservation system. But the ferry on the south end of the island is runs every half hour. But they just line up, and my best advice is to come to a place midweek, because then you're not, in the high season. I mean, this place is lovely year round, so I would say if you're coming here, pick an off season, come here and enjoy yourself and have the peace and quiet and nobody around you, and being able to have a restaurant table right away or whatever. In the height of summer, it does get a little crowded for things like restaurants and lodgings. So midweek is definitely an alternative that I would advise for people.
That's a really, good point. And midweek, I think we're getting this interesting balance with people working remotely now too. Like the weekend is changing up a bit. Unless you have kids, it's a little different because of kids, right? And families. But I think if you're, retired and traveling, you can do the midweek, That's the thing. I think for retired travelers or remote workers who can do that, go for it, and it balances things out nicely. And it's so calm and peaceful when you, I mean, that's everywhere, I think. Just about everywhere, go midweek is great to do. With that, people coming midweek and off season is always good, but it's spring right now. So is it really summer is your high season, but spring like right now would be a good time to go?
Spring is a great time to come, and as we expand programs here, we're looking to create itineraries where somebody can come and say take a pottery class for 3 days in a row and enjoy themselves. So that I think will expand the viability of coming here for several days during the week. And also, right now it's even though it's spring break, for a lot of people, it's pretty quiet here. Our season picks up pretty heavily starting June and goes through September.
Okay, yeah, the typical end of, yeah, Memorial Day to Labor Day kind of thing. So when people go to WhidbeyCaminoIslands.com, if you go to that site and it's linked in the show notes, you can go to their site. They have so much on their website to plan your visit. They have the lodgings all listed. They have things to do, all the events. So that's always cool too. If you want to plan on going to events, man, your calendar's packed. Dang, you guys are busy. You have a lot going on. I'm like, what? Yeah. This is, I know you're islands, but you got a lot going on. There's farmers markets. Oh, I love that. And art walks. Art walks are awesome. That's
Yeah, we have art, most of the communities have art walks every month. So you get to see what all the artists are doing, which is fun. And then all of the farmers markets are terrific. We usually have at least two or three a week. And, so one will start on Thursday or Friday, and the next one will be Saturday, and another one will be Sunday. And then, of course, there's a whole map of all of the roadside stands that you can go to and pick up fresh produce. And we have a group called Whidbey Island Grown, and you can actually go onto their website if you're visiting here and staying in a non-traditional lodging in a short-term rental or something. You can go on to Whidbey Island Grown's website and order all of your produce, and they will have it ready for you to pick up. So you
Oh,
can.
that's awesome. That is awesome. I think that's one of those benefits of staying like an Airbnb or VRBO or vacation rental that you can make something local. Are there cooking classes that people can take locally? Because
There
that
are
would be awesome.
some, and we are looking to have more of those. So if anyone's listening that's a burgeoning chef, you're very welcome. We'll find a kitchen for you. And you
Yeah.
can come here and start your own little business, maybe just on weekends.
I know, because I mean, it's just, I think those experiences are so cool. And you can find out about the local produce, because I think that's the other thing is Washington State grows a whole bunch of produce that we don't know about, you know, potatoes, you
And we
know.
have some foraging classes as well, which are
Oh.
a lot of fun. There's a fellow doing mushroom foraging, and he takes you out. And I was just talking to the Saratoga Inn the other day about doing an itinerary where you could pre-book foraging with him, and then come back and make a meal with your mushrooms in the
Oh,
hotel. So.
I'm in. Okay, so the hotel, so you have historic inns and bed and breakfast too, right?
We do.
Oh, perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah,
That's
we
just.
have lots of seaside inns
Ooh.
and still some bed and breakfasts. They're fewer than there used to be, but there are still some both in Langley and Coopville and in Oak Harbor.
Oh, and having seaside inns, is that just like we were talking about the idyllic stay, right? That's, there's nothing like staying at a seaside inn. There just isn't. It's just, oh, we do like to stay by the seaside. I'm just like,
Well,
it's
and
not on my end.
sitting outdoors in a rocking chair and talking to the person about their adventures from the day and the innkeeper about what you're going to do tomorrow, that there's nothing like that. That's a lot of fun.
You know what I found was amazing too, like being coastal, like you could go have a picnic and everything. And we did a lot of that. We went to some of your parks, and people didn't seem to care if there was a brisk wind. It was like, yeah, just dress for it. And what amazed me was the amount of windsurfers. And I can't remember what town, I think was it Oak Harbor? I don't know where we were, but there were a ton of windsurfers. I think it was, we saw them in like two places. And I hadn't seen windsurfing since South Africa in Port Elizabeth, where we lived. And I was just like, wow, I haven't seen this. I didn't even know this country did this. But windsurfing
Oh, yeah.
is huge, right? Is that year round?
No, it isn't, but it does get breezy here. So whenever there's a stiff wind, the west side of the island gets a lot more wind than the east side of the island. The east side's a bit more protected, but on the west side of the island it's quite windy. And there's a ton of fishing here as well. So people come here to fish off of the shore or take a boat out and fish. So there's a lot of that going on as well.
And of course, that's what's in restaurants too, is local
Of course.
seafood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
And
and
local
local
vegetables.
oysters and of course we have the mussel beds at Pen Cove, and they raise the mussels right there.
Wow.
Serve them. So yeah.
Wow.
Captain Whidbey Inn is right there, and that's looks very much like the Adirondack kind of construction with the timber logs, and it has that rustic sort of feeling to it, log cabiny sort of feeling to it. It's one of the more interesting places to stay on the island.
I love this. I love that rustic vibe too. You know, just, I want to come back now.
You're very welcome to come anytime. You
I
can
promise to have a light
find
footprint.
someone's dog for you to sit.
Oh, yeah, we pet sit. Yes, that's the other thing. I know, I see pet sits. Yeah, we do that through Trusted House Sitters. It's not a money-making thing, everyone. It's just a way, because when you travel full-time, it's a little different, but we do stay in hotels and bed and breakfast all the time. But you know, in between our pet sitting adventures, and we did a pet sit in Anacortes, and then we're like, yay, we got to go to Whidbey and Kameno while we're here. We didn't get to Kameno, so we that we have to do that. But we've done so many shows over the years with focusing on Whidbey and Kameno Islands, and I think it started also when the International Food Wine Travel Writers Association, IFTWAS, we call them, had their conference in
Yes, they
Whidbey.
did. They had that.
Yeah. And so that's where it just started. And it's like one interview, it's like, woo, we were getting to know the place so well, and we hadn't been there yet. And then we're like, we must go. There's a pet sit there. Let's drive across the country to do that. And we did.
Well,
It
that sounds like a lot of fun,
is a lot of
like
fun. And
animals.
well, you guys are pet-friendly communities out there.
Very
You
much
are.
so. Very much so. Yeah, a lot of the hotels allow pets and and the short-term rentals as well. And everywhere you go, there's it's really interesting that I generally know the dog before I know the person. I recognize the
Well,
dog first.
people do look like their dogs. I did not say that, but it's true. It's true. No, well, I don't know. Now Nancy and I, my mom and I now must look like every dog, right? Because we feel like, we're their pet parents when we're there. But no, I'm kidding. But yeah, it's the animals are a big deal, and that's the thing. Being able to take your dog for a walk on the beach, isn't that cool? And they love it. They love it. They really love it.
Yeah, my guy
Yeah.
is my guy, it really, if I go towards the car, I have to make sure he's behind the gate because he will be in the car in a flash.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, it's like, let's go, let's go. We got adventure. But that's it. You guys have the outdoors, and it's so cool that I love hearing what you're doing in, the world of tourism, environmentally friendly, but this transformative, regenerative side of where, like, yeah, having these experiences that you learn something. And so being, with our media outlets, and then also being pet sitters, we're talking travel all the time. We help people physically actually travel, which is great, but we hear about it all the time, and we work with a lot of travel advisors too, and they're always saying, if there's an experience, that's what people want. They
Exactly.
want that as part of their travel. Is I want to do a class, I want to do, because that's, and every time I hear someone come back from their adventure, what is it? And they're all like, oh, I took this amazing, cooking class. I learned how to make a croissant in Paris. Like, seriously, yeah, you need to do that.
Well, and
Those
being
kinds of
next to the
things.
people too, I always find when I travel, it's not the guided sort of pre-digested experiences that I remember. It's the sitting next to someone in a cafe and having them tell you their life story, or being invited back to the kitchen by the chef, and him showing off his what he's doing, and those types of experiences are the ones that where you've touched another human are the things that you'll remember.
Yeah, it's like we started kayaking, and no, we're not kayaker, and especially I'm not good at it, but I love it. We went out on a kayaking guided trip, and we started in the bayous of Louisiana. Like, really? Yes, we're gonna go kayaking with gators and snakes and frogs. Yes, we did, and it was fantastic. But as soon as we did it on our own, it was a hot mess. No, I know. I need to rephrase that. Nancy, my mom, she was fine. I was a hot mess. In fact, by the time I got to the shore, there was a group of people on the campground clapping for me to finally get to shore. That all I can say is you see a person going around in circles, and a water snake came up on. Yeah, let's not go there.
Oh.
But let me just tell you, you need a guide. And you know what? You learn so much on these guided tours. There's definitely times where you want to have your own time as a traveler and explorer. But if you, especially when you first get there, go on a food tour or a walking tour or anything like that, where you can get the history, any kind of guided program or immersive experience that you're making something and you're talking to someone, you're getting the lay of the land and you're getting the roots of the people and the nature, right? I
And
don't know, it changes you.
you see so much more if someone, you get off the main trail, so to speak, if you're going out with someone who knows the water or who knows that environment intimately, and you hear so much and see so much more than you could all by yourself. Because, when you're first exploring something, you're getting your orientation, you're not quite you're not quite comfortable. And when you go out on the water with somebody like Krista Locklear, who owns Whidbey Island Kayaking, she knows every bird, she knows every
Oh,
sandbar,
wow.
she knows every fish, and that depth of knowledge is so helpful.
And then you understand why this bird is important because, and why this fish is important to that bird, and why you understand the web of life when you go out with people like that. And then
You
you start
do.
to have like a You know, it's like, oh, we're going to develop this. Oh, well, there's a frog. Who cares about one frog? Yes, that frog is food for a gazillion different species and eats the bugs. So, but you learn when you're out there in the midst of it with these kinds of guides, these naturalists. It's my favorite thing to do. You got me all wired up now. I'm like, I'm ready to come. I'm all like, let's go, let's
As I
go.
said, you're very welcome. I happen to have an ADU behind my house, so you're very welcome.
Okay, cool. There it is. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Inga, for joining us on the show. It's great to have you on. And I know, folks have been hearing Sherry on our show, Sherry Wyatt, and she's off doing film work right now, right? She's
Yes, she
on the
is.
film side. Yeah. Yes.
I have big shoes to fill.
Oh, no, I think you're doing great. And she did great. And I love that she's still in the world of Whidbey Island and, I think the film side of it, that's and she's got that focus of sustainability, so that's important when you have films being filmed there all the time to have that sustainable strength,
Well, and
that
it's a beautiful place to bring a production, and Washington State has some amazing rebates for filmmakers that come here. I think 30% of the production is rebated to the production company.
wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Whoo, very cool. Very cool. Everybody, you got to go. I'm telling you, it's special. It's special. You got to do it. It's special. So, everyone, go Whidbey Kame. Let me go back on the site, make sure I'm so used to saying it. Yes, WhidbeyKameinoIslands.com is the website. It's linked in the show notes. They're also on Facebook, Instagram, all those great places. Follow them. And if you're going to Washington State, do something off the beaten path. And see true small town America island style, right?
Yes,
And
absolutely.
take your trash home with you.
And take an experience home with you as well.
mostly the experience for sure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for listening to Big Blend Radio's Food, Wine, and Travel Show, featuring members of the International Food, Wine, Travel Writers Association. We encourage you to visit their website. We say IFTWA, which is IFWTWA.org. You can also follow us at BigBlendRadio.com. Happy travels, everyone!